We can start again with questions, if anyone has any questions from last week or anything that's been on your mind related to the class. There's two easy and obvious interpretations of the silence. One is that it's so crystal clear, everything I've said, that leaves no room for questions. And the other is you're all so totally confused with what I've said that there's no possibility of questions because you don't even know. Yeah. Maybe there's other interpretations of the silence, but... Last week we talked about the path of cultivation, the aspect of Buddhist practice that emphasizes developing ourselves, cultivating ourselves. Yes?
You had said that the two most important things to develop Buddhism were mindfulness and concentration.
I probably said that. I would say some other days I would say some different things. Yeah, one of the things I said, not always so, right?
So it seems that the thing I would think of first of all for doing that would be sitting. Is there other things that you can suggest, like when you're working or bring those things into practice?
So mindfulness and concentration are really central to the whole Buddhist endeavor. And cultivating and developing is something that Buddhists do. And it can be done, as you said, in certainly meditation practice, which is kind of one of the primary places for it to be done in. And it's kind of like meditation is kind of like being in the gym. You kind of work out in a good way. And in daily life, it doesn't lend itself, most people, to kind of work out the same way. And so we go to the gym. Go to meditate because it kind of works out and develops the mind or the heart or whatever you call it. And some people will go on retreats, you know, do longer retreats for the same purpose. But it certainly can be developed in daily life, and it's very important to try to develop in daily life. And mindfulness is pretty simple in daily life. It's just noticing what's happening while it's happening. And it doesn't take a lot to realize how much of the time we're not in the present moment. We're not here so much. And even if we're kind of here, we're not really here. And we're kind of half here. We're here just enough to be able to drive down the street not to hit any other cars. But qualitatively, you know, we're listening to the radio or talking on the cell phone or talking with someone or talking, you know, doing something. But to really be here in a very full, complete way and really know that you're here when you're here is something that can be developed and strengthened. So some people will practice that in daily life. They'll take all kinds of opportunities to just wake up, to pay attention to what they're doing while they're doing it. Some people will do it in certain areas of their life, like only when they drive, or only when they're cooking, or only when they're walking where they park their car to their place of work. And they really try in that situation to be mindful. Some people do it in things like whenever the telephone rings, if they have rings a lot. They don't answer as quickly as they can, but they take a few minutes just to check in and see what's happening right now, what's going on. Let's be mindful. Some people like to develop it in conversation, when they talk. It's very hard. It's one of the hardest places for many people to be mindful. It's also one of the most useful places to learn it, because you can make big mistakes if you're not mindful. And you learn a lot about yourself by paying attention to what motivates your speech, what you want to say. There's many people here at IMC who it's a very important part of their life to develop their mindfulness in their daily activities as much as anywhere else. And then there's the concentration is a little bit harder in daily life because some people have work that kind of is conducive or some activity that's really conducive to developing concentration. They're a musician or they have a hobby or a programmer or something that requires a lot of concentration. For people who are doing a lot of different things and it's kind of all over the place, kind of, it's harder to develop concentration or stability. It can be done. One of the ways to do it is when you do something, do one thing at a time. So really put yourself, you can focus on that one thing when you're doing it And doing that on a regular basis develops stability, concentration, and it can be very useful. In Buddhism, the word for concentration and the word for calm are almost synonymous. Buddhists will often see them as synonymous. So instead of maybe thinking about developing concentration in daily life, we think about developing a sense of calm or ease or tranquility in the midst of what we do. So if we notice that we're always getting agitated when we drive our car, then maybe there's a different way of driving your car. And so we try to find out a way to drive the car that keeps us calm when we drive. Or you know, other situations like that. Yes.
One is when you're speaking, I'm hearing a ringing.
Ringing, yeah. Is it a little bit too loud, maybe? Please. That's
voice, really.
Yeah, I hear it too. I'm glad you brought it up because we wanted. Yeah. Is it still now, or is it back? Still hear it now? Yeah. Anything else? Is that better now? Is that any better now? Can you? The better? Is it natural enough?
Yes.
Much more natural.
Yeah. And I have one other comment.
Yes.
I saw that this is more a question about the history of Buddhism. I saw today in the paper that China has given as a gift to Hong Kong a Buddhist finger. And I just was a little bit perplexed by that, wondering what the history of that, why
I don't know so much about why political reasons why it was given now. I think there's a lot of, I don't know, I don't know to read the story, but if it went from China to Hong Kong, I think there's a lot of Buddhists in Hong Kong, and so they they're trying to appease them or do something nice for them. It seems like a lot of religions have relics that are important, or certain religions have them, and so like Catholicism has relics, it's really important in Catholicism, and Buddhism also has relics, and there's said to be a certain kind of power, and you can debate or interpret what that power might be in relics or things they've left behind. And there are kind of reliquaries that are created here in America by Buddhists in America. Tibetan Buddhists are really into it. There's a reliquary right here in Santa Cruz Mountains of a great Tibetan teacher. And the idea of, so like in Sri Lanka, there's a very famous relic there that's kind of a national treasure, which is the tooth of the Buddha. And I never heard of the finger of the Buddha, but the different things, you know, that people say they have. And so they're highly revered and esteemed and valued by people. It kind of inspires them and connects them to their tradition. You know, all kinds of things that religious people do. It's possible that if you took together all the different relics of the Buddha, all the bones that survive, and put them together, you'd have more than the skeleton of one person.
He was cremated.
Yeah, but since cremations, often bones get behind. Cremation doesn't turn bones into fine powder. Even if you do cremation now, the crematorium will grind the bones afterwards, so you can get them back. And some crematoriums do it really coarsely, and some can do it finer. And depending on the crematorium, you get it back, you know, ground in different textures. And sometimes, you know, if you just burn the body, oftentimes bones left over. So, other questions? Yes?
Well, I think I get the benefits of mindfulness. And I think at one time I understood the concentration benefits, but I checked in right now and I don't know what that is. So
the benefits of concentration. There's a lot of benefits that come from concentration. One is that when the mind and body are concentrated, it tends to be calm, and it tends to be kind of harmonized. Concentration has a harmonizing effect on the body and the mind, and it can be very healing. When there's a lot of strong concentration, it tends to be a lot of rapture or joy or bliss that arises. And for some psyches and some bodies, it's very healing to have the those effects of the joy, the rapture, the bliss, the harmony, the sense of well-being that comes from concentration. There's a wonderful antidote to people's lack of well-being or fear that they have or trauma that they're holding in their body. And so it can kind of recondition and reteach us kind of how to be in a cellular level, because it's really a cellular, it's almost cellular, kind of muscular or deep, deep kind of embedded thing that happens when you get really well concentrated. It's not just a mental thing, it's a whole embodied change that happens. And that can be very healing for some people to do that. That's one reason. For the purposes of mindfulness, concentration can be very helpful because, for one thing, it gives stability to the mindfulness. So that it's like having a tripod. It's having a, taking a, you're trying to take a picture, and you're kind of shaky or whatever. And you can't quite get it straight or stable. But if you put the picture on the camera on a tripod, you can get a stable picture. So getting mindfulness well concentrated, it's like getting a really good tripod or base for the observation that mindfulness is. So you can see much more clearly. And for some of the deepest kind of work that mindfulness can do, the path in the process of liberation, you need to have a lot of inner stability. You have to be able to really be able to see very deeply in a clear, penetrating way. And if the mind is agitated and moving around, it's just simply not going to go penetrate very deeply. So taking a comfortable and alert posture. Sometimes you need to focus more on the comfort. Sometimes you need to focus more on the alertness. Not sacrificing one for the other. It can be helpful to let the tension travel up the spine. Kind of to feel the spine. To awaken it or enliven it. And as you're feeling the spine, to see if there you can be a little more alert there, upright. Be careful how the weight of your body travels through the spine. So it seems kind of balanced, even spread on your vertebrae rather than being pulled forward or sideways or collapsing backwards. Even if you're sitting in a chair with a backrest, you might sit forward a little bit, adjust your posture to sit a little straighter. With the eyes gently closed. You might take a moment to let your mouth drop open. Relax it and drop open, and then gently kind of let your mouth, your teeth float together gently. So your jaw is a little bit more released. Often helpful in the beginning of a meditation to take a few long, slow, deep breaths, relaxing as you exhale. It can be helpful to release your shoulders a little bit, even if it's just a teeny softening. As you exhale, relaxing your shoulder blades, letting them become a little bit heavier, moving down your back. As you exhale, soften your belly. Release any holding that you can in the area of your belly. Be at ease with how things are. No need to be for or against anything. And if you can soften and relax the belly, it's a good thing. Breathing normally, letting your breath be, letting yourself be at ease with your breathing. And taking a few moments to feel your body, global experience of the body, kind of from the inside, being aware of how the body experiences itself. Being aware of the tensions or agitation that might be in the body. Some people brace themselves against life. They brace themselves, the whole body is braced very subtly, perhaps. Feeling the tensions, the agitation. And then as you exhale for the next few exhalations, see if you can soften, relax, let go of the tensions. Let go into your body. You settle into it, so you feel perhaps more at home in your body. As you exhale, release. And then check in and see how you're feeling now. What's your mood or your emotional state? Calm, agitated, happy, sad, content, irritated. Feel how you're feeling. Again, from the inside, kind of from the body's, experiencing your, how you feel from the body's point of view. How the body experiences your mood. And as you exhale, see if you can let go, release, soften around what you're feeling. How you are. Let there be a release. Letting yourself be at ease with how you feel. And then become aware of how your mind is, your thinking mind, being very forgiving or allowing of how the thinking mind is. Is it tight? Is it pressure? Is it loose, relaxed? Is there a lot of energy for thinking? Or are you tired? The thinking mind can sometimes feel like a muscle. Sometimes it's so active that if you pay attention to it, you discover the thinking mind is actually tired, weary, all the effort. As you exhale, can you release your thinking mind? Let go. Let it relax. Breathing in, and then as you breathe out, soften, relax. Feeling the breath within the body, the breathing of the body, the expanding and contracting of the torso, the rising and falling of the chest or the belly, the sensations of the air going in and out through the nostrils. In whatever way you experience your breathing, become sensitive to the breathing. The greater sensitivity, aliveness, in the experience of the body breathing. Each time you exhale, relax, let go of your thinking. Let go of the past, thinking about the past. Let go of the future, thinking about the future. Release yourself from the grip of thinking, even if it's just for a moment, even just for a moment at the end of the out-breath. Let your thinking disappear for that moment as the exhalation comes to its end. Breathing in and breathing out, feeling the vibration, the vitality, the sense of presence in your body. Feeling the energetic body. That sense of presence in your body that has no sharp boundaries. And as you exhale, let go. let yourself let go or dissolve beyond the fixed boundaries of the body. Relax, let go into the spaciousness around the body. Exhale, letting go of thoughts, letting go of any need to think of anything or to understand anything, letting go of any need to be anybody or to accomplish anything. Just as you exhale, let go into simplicity of being, just here, nowhere to go, nothing to get, no one to be. Letting go with the out-breath. Letting go as if the next out-breath is your very last out-breath. Letting go of everything. Coming to the end. Each out-breath, like the very last, you can let go of everything. You can let go of your concerns, your worries, your regrets, your job, your activities. The last breath of your life, just let go into the simplicity, not being anything, not holding on to anything. If you feel any sense of peace, see if you can release, let go of everything but the peace, everything but the stillness within. and then feeling your body against the chair or the cushion, the floor. Feeling yourself here in this room. Taking again a few long, slow, deep breaths, feeling your body, connecting to your body from the inside. And when I ring the bell, when you're ready, you can open your eyes, stand the sitting.